Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we come to our final sermon in this series of sermons that we've been working through, called to be in Christ, called to be salt and light, called to be His co-workers, and today called to be listeners of Him, from Matthew 17. And I'll just repeat the key verse to you. While He was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With Him I am well pleased. Listen to Him." Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, for you are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Some of my favourite reflections on the topic of listening come from this book by Dietrich Bonhoeffer called Life Together. A number of you would be familiar with it, maybe not all. I just want to read you a few lines from his chapter on listening. He writes, "The first service that one owes to others in the fellowship, that is in the church, consists in listening to them. Just as love to God begins in listening to His word, so the beginning of love for our brothers and sisters is in learning to listen to them. Christians, especially ministers, so often think they must always contribute something when they're in the company of others, that this is the one service they have to render. They forget that listening can be a greater service even than speaking. Many people are looking for an ear that will listen. They do not often find it among Christians because these Christians are too busy talking when they should be listening." He goes on for a while and then concludes like this: "Christians have forgotten that the ministry of listening has been committed to them by Him who is Himself the great listener, and whose work they are called to share. Let us then listen with the ears of God, that we may speak the word of God." Let us listen with the ears of God, that we may speak the word of God. Called to be listeners of Christ. Called to be listeners. For Dietrich Bonhoeffer, there's a very close connection between our listening to God in His word and our listening to one another in Christian fellowship. Now, the first voice we hear in our text today is not actually the voice primarily of God or even of His Son, Jesus Christ, but it's the voice of a fellow believer. It's the voice of Peter. And the voice of Peter comes across as somewhat confused, uncertain, unsure in the presence of the transfigured Christ. Comes across perhaps as we might in the presence of the transfigured Christ. Peter says, "Lord, it's good for us to be here. If you wish, I'll put up three shelters, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah." Did you hear it? The trembling in his voice, the trepidation, the uncertainty, the eagerness to get this right, the eagerness to say the right thing, the desire to be in the presence of God, a good desire, but also the desire to stay there on that mountain, to capture this moment for a longer period. You see, Peter betrays this desire within us to cling to something which is only temporary and to draw it out, to make it last, to hold on to a special experience, a wonderful moment, a golden era, and try to make it last a lifetime. Most of us experience this perhaps most clearly when we return home from a holiday. We've had a good time, and we get back home. We just wish we could extend it that bit further, make it last that little bit more. But of course, the glory of that experience is partly in the fact that it's only temporary, until retirement, perhaps.
holidays, going away, the glory, the moment, being up the mountain, the golden era. It's always only temporary. That's part of its glory. That's part of its joy. And it's similar with the transfiguration. Peter wants to hold on to it, but he's soon going to learn that this moment is not for holding on to. There's other people up there on the mountain. It's part of this vision. There's Moses, keeper of the old covenant, giver of the Ten Commandments. There's Elijah, the preeminent prophet. What are they doing up there? The text says they're talking to Jesus. They're talking to Jesus. You know, Moses speaks to us of the old covenant and the commandments, and Elijah speaks to us of the great prophets of old and all they had to say. But what their purpose is, we see here on the mountain. The purpose is to direct everything to Jesus Christ. They speak to Peter of a road leading up to the coming of this Lord Jesus Christ. And if we have ears to hear, which is what Jesus often talks about, ears to hear, ears attuned to what is going on, we see their true purpose here on the mountain of transfiguration. We see the whole Old Testament, Old Covenant coming to a head. But don't we hear in Peter's words something of our own words? Eagerness to please, eagerness to get things right, eagerness to say the right thing, eagerness to be with Jesus, generally speaking, but also this eagerness to hold on and cling to things that are only temporary, that are not here to stay. God gives us many experiences in life, many words, many times, many relationships that are only for an allotted period. In fact, most of life is like that. And yet, the glory of those things is not that they would be drawn out, but the glory is for the moment, and then to head back down from that moment and be encouraged for life on the plains, what we call the daily grind, the everyday experience of living. That's where Peter and James and John and the disciples spent most of their time, remember. The transfiguration was the exception. In a moment, they're going to head back down the mountain, but before they do, and in fact, while Peter is still speaking, God interrupts him and interjects as if to say, "Shh, Peter. Shh. You don't have to say everything that comes into your mind, Peter. Just quiet for a moment. God has something to say." And these are the words of God. "This is my son whom I love, and with him I'm very pleased. Listen to him." Now, it's the same voice that we heard at Jesus' baptism, saying the same thing that we heard at Jesus' baptism with the addition of these all-important words, "Listen to him." Listen to him. How do we listen to him? We do it quite practically speaking when we come to church. We do it in our Bible readings, through our preaching, and we do it in our personal devotional lives as we read Scripture, as we reflect on it. We listen to him. And hopefully we have ears to hear what he's saying to us. Throughout the season of Lent, a wonderful time to reestablish a discipline of listening to our Lord. Throughout this Lenten season, we're going to have our Wednesday night services again. The focus there will be on the book of 1 Peter. In our Sunday services, we're going to do some thinking about the book of Romans. You could do a lot worse during this Lenten season than to just read through the book of 1 Peter and the book of Romans. Good goal, good opportunity to listen to Christ. Maybe even better than giving up chocolate or something like that. You can read these books of the Bible while you eat chocolate if you want. Think about the call of Christ in your life. Listen to him, listen to him. As we do, as we hear the Heavenly Father speak his words of love over his Son, we hear just how much Jesus means to him, just how much emphasis God puts on him. Just God is saying, "He is my voice. He has my words. He has my authority. If I want to speak to you, I'm going to speak through him. Listen to him, whatever you do. So when he says don't, then don't. And when he says do, then do. And when he says come, then come. And when he says do not cling to the words and the ways of this world, then don't cling on to them, for they are fleeting. When he says follow me, I have a world of grace, mercy, and peace to show you that you never even conceived of, then follow him and keep listening as you do. As we listen to God the Father speak these words over his Son, we learn and we hear not just how much Jesus means to him, but how much we mean to him. Baptized into his name, baptized into Christ, we hear him say to us, "You are my son, you are my daughter, with you I am very pleased. You are one that I love." Not because every word you speak and thing you do is wonderful and perfectly deserving of affirmation. No, but because his are, and he is the Word incarnate, he is the Word of God in human form who has come into your world and into your life to stand in your stead, to stand there before the Heavenly Father and say, "This is one of mine. I love them. I'm pleased with them. I'm listening to them." What God says to us is full of love, it's full of affirmation, approval, and encouragement and strength for our lives together. And so the call goes out once again, listen to him. Above your own heart, above your own family, above your friends, above the media, above the internet, above whatever you listen to, listen to him. So what does he say? What does he say? Not a great deal in today's reading. He says a lot elsewhere. Not a great deal in today's reading. When the disciples heard it, they fell face down to the ground. They were terrified, but Jesus came over and touched them and said, "Get up, do not be afraid. Get up and do not be afraid." And when they looked, they saw no one except Jesus. No one except Jesus. God's last man standing. Moses fades from view. Elijah fades from view. And Jesus is left there with this gentle touch of the hand and this gentle word, "Get up and don't be afraid." That's his word. And he knows what's coming. They're still coming to terms with it. He knows what's coming. Back down the plane. The trial, the suffering, the cross, the grave. He knows it. And yet he says to them, "Get up and do not be afraid." Why? How? Because he now has everything he needs to face that future with confidence. Everything he needs. The voice of his Heavenly Father telling him he is loved, he is approved of, he is worthy. He has the presence of God. Whatever comes his way, he has the love of God beating in his heart with him on that path to the cross. "Do not be afraid," he says to them. You know, whatever your view is like from the mountain at this point in your life, whatever it is, whatever the horizon looks like, whatever you fear, because the disciples were full of fear this day, whatever is on the horizon for you, for your family, whatever makes you want to run away and hide, whatever makes you want to stay on the mountain and not go back down and not face what's down there, whatever that is, Jesus' words to you are as simple as they are profound and as beautiful as they are brief. And he says to you, "Get up and do not be afraid. Do not be afraid." Listen to him. What have you got to lose? Listen to him, learn from him, follow him, and let him inspire you to listen to others around you, to really listen. Not just waiting for your chance to talk, but hearing what it is they're saying to you. Listen to them, and know that you always have a God who is listening to you. So let's talk to him. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that
While we sometimes listen to you and sometimes don't, while we sometimes listen to one another and sometimes become impatient, you are a God who never stops listening to us, who always is willing to talk, who always is ready to remind us of your love, affirmation in our lives, who is always calling us deeper and closer into a relationship with you. Lord, help us to listen to you, to go where you follow, where you call. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.